have that.
Peace, joy, and love. And it's not just for Christmas. We, you know, every year at Christmas time, we go through the Advent and we talk about those four things. And sometimes we talk about them as though they're designated for Christmas and only for that time of year. Well, that certainly is obviously not the case. And here we are, what, 2 days post-Christmas, and another Christmas is officially behind us. Christmas 2020 is officially behind us. And it certainly was a strange one at that. I think we would all agree with that. All the excitement, all the anticipation has quickly become a thing of the past. All the preparations for Christmas 2020 are now in the past. We are now closing out a year that many are wishing to say good riddance to. We're embarking on 2021, excuse me, and a lot of people are saying to 2020, good riddance. It's been a year like we've never seen before, a year that we've never lived through before. And I hope that navigating through our Advent series these past 4 weeks before today and all that came with it has brought some sense that everything will be okay. When we're going through times like we've gone through in the last 10 months or so, it's just human nature to wonder, are things really going to be okay? And I hope that going through this Advent series and really reflecting on the attributes of Jesus has given you a sense that yes, it's going to be okay. We journeyed together over the past 3 weeks through Advent. We learned together, or at least we were reminded, that Advent is a season of expecting or expectant waiting as we focus and reflect on Christ's coming. That's what we did. His coming to earth on that Christmas long ago and his eventual triumph return to complete God's ultimate work of redemption. That's what we celebrated these past 4 weeks. Excuse me. Sorry. The Christmas story is a powerful story, perhaps the most powerful story on earth of all time. Filled with wonder, filled with miracles, filled with very real life. I mean, I think it's important to remember that the Christmas story is a miraculous one, but it's real life. It was real people. And it was very real. It's not some fictional story that we just read about. It was true and it was real and it happened. It's a story of Jesus coming to earth as the most wonderful gift of all eternity. As we have walked through the various parts of that story over the past few weeks of the Christmas story, and we saw how the intersection of Jesus in the lives of real people who played a role in his arrival. We saw Jesus intersect the lives of people who played a role in that story. My hope is this morning that you were also able to see the intersection of Jesus in your own life as well. Because if all we ever see is Jesus intersecting in the lives of them, but not in us, then really the story doesn't have a lot of meaning to us. We saw how he brought peace and love and joy and hope into many lives in real ways. But he does that for us today as well. I mean, let's be real. Let's be honest. Let's not sugarcoat it. Life can be hard. Life is hard. Especially this past 10 minutes, it's been extremely difficult for some. For a lot. And the hope and the peace and the joy of Christmas can quickly flee from us in the matter of a moment. Just 2 days ago, we celebrated this awesome time with all these things that come from God, and then all of a sudden, it can flee from us because we're right back into a difficult circumstance or a difficult moment. In fact, I'd be willing to go out on a limb and bet that for some or many, just 2 days past Christmas, things have already been replaced with stress and anxiety. I'd be willing to bet that all that was celebrated at Christmas in 2 days after Christmas, and all of a sudden there's increased levels of stress and anxiety in many families for whatever reason. So I think it's important that we take a moment to trace our way through the portions of the Christmas story again, highlighting all that it means that Christ has come and all that it means for us to rediscover life in Him. We talked about rediscovering Christmas. And now 2 days post-Christmas, as we look through these things again, I want you to think about rediscovering life, not just rediscovering Christmas. Because these things are designed to change our lives, not just change us for a moment on a holiday. So the first thing is finding hope in our uncertainties. We talked about this 4 weeks ago. When uncertainty surrounds us, the promise of Christ fills us with hope to carry on. Does it not? Hope is the breath that keeps us alive. It keeps us breathing. Hope is the fuel of our faith. It's the fuel of our dreams and our possibilities. Hope is that whisper of maybe, just maybe, in the spark, in the cold darkness that catches flame. It's the flicker of first light on a new morning. In the worst suffering and atrocities and catastrophes of human history, of the worst of the worst of the worst, there has always remained a flicker of hope. There always is a flicker of hope. Throughout enslavement, throughout imprisonment, throughout tragedy, throughout addiction, throughout torture, there have been those who clung to the smallest spark of hope and fanned them to an eventual survival or freedom or release. Throughout the history of the Jewish people, there was hope, the hope of God's covenant. They had this hope of God's covenant. There was the promise of restoration and the promise of blessing through the Messiah. That's what they hoped for. That's what they had their hope in. But time, what did time do? It dragged on, and it dragged on, and the nation was plundered. The nation was plundered. Its people were what? They were exiled, and the people were conquered. And the people said, "How long, O God? How long? How long, O God," was the cry of the ancient Israelites. Year after year, century after century had passed, and the cry of the Israelite people were, "How long, O Lord?" But there were those who kept hope alive, make no mistake about it, living expectantly and faithfully, trusting openly and wholeheartedly that God would come through. And that's what our hope is today. We trust hopefully and faithfully, knowing and believing that God will come through. Maybe not the way that we had hoped, maybe not the way that we wanted, but that He will come through. We talked about Simeon and Anna and how they were the two people who encountered the baby Jesus. They had lived long and difficult lives. They had known loss and they had known disappointment. But they did not what? They did not abandon hope, not even for a moment. And when they saw the baby Jesus, just about 6 weeks old, in the temple, they knew without a doubt that this child, this baby, was the Messiah. They knew that He was the promised one. They knew that He was the Son of God. They were ready and waiting for this moment. Through their difficult and trying life, they were waiting with great expectation for that moment. And they embraced the moment of this hope, fulfilled with rejoicing and worshiping and spreading the news. The flame of their hope spread beyond and it multiplied. See, that's the epitome of what we as believers should be all about. Our hope that we have in Jesus, in the Messiah, should also be multiplied. It should also be extended to others. People outside of us should see that in us. They should see the hope that we have, just as they did with Anna and Simeon. With the arrival of Emmanuel, God with us, God came to restore hope. The hope of salvation, the hope of restoration, the hope of healing, the hope of His continued work that He will one day complete in our bodies and in this world. That is the hope that we have in Jesus. We come to humbly worship Jesus. I hope that you came today, or that you tuned in today, to humbly worship Jesus. We need to come before the throne in a humble manner. After all, that's the way, the manner in which Christ was born unto us, in a humble manner. And as we come humbly in a spirit of worship, in an attitude of worship, we can find renewal of His hope within us. And the reason I say the renewal of His hope, because when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we're given that hope. It's the world and the difficult times around us that rob us from it and strip us of it. So when we encounter Jesus, all we're doing is renewing our hope that He had already given to us. As we come humbly before His throne, we find ourselves with a new spirit and a new strength and a new hope and a new freedom. The strength to take the next hopeful step. Because sometimes that's all we need, right? Sometimes that's all we're hopeful for is, Lord, just give me the strength to take the next step. Because sometimes we're in the middle of a circumstance, the hardest thing is to take just the next step. And when we have an encounter with Jesus, He gives us the strength to take the very next step and the strength to carry us forward. With this verse as our prayer, let us rediscover the hope that Christ has come and He is working in our lives today. This is what it says in Romans 15:13. It says this, "May the God of hope fill you all with all joy and peace as you trust Him, so that you may," what? I love this. "So that you may overflow with hope." Not that you will just have hope, but it overflows from you. That people will see it in you. So they overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, it's where our hope comes from, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. The second reminder that we need to know today, or need to understand, is how to find peace in our struggles. The two are very closely related. The struggles are real, make no mistake about it. But the peace of Christ transcends within us, even in our darkest days. Even in our darkest days. Of course, the announcement came in the dark of the night. When the angels came to the shepherds, it was in the dark of the night. Of course, the angels began their announcement to the shepherds with the words, what? Do not be afraid or fear not. Yes, exactly. Because of course, they were afraid. They were afraid. Who wouldn't be afraid? The angel said, do not be afraid. Because they were human. And there's much in our world that causes us to fear. I'm human and I have fears. The shepherds were humans and they had fears. And the angel said, do not fear. For the shepherd, that included why these magnificent, terrifying, heavenly beings were showing up in the middle of the night sky. Can you imagine? On the dark of the night and these humanly but heavenly beings just showing up as this bright thing in the night sky, of course that would put anybody on alert. Of course that would raise anybody's anxiety level. And the angels immediately said, fear not. For us, it's the normal pressures and disappointments of the uncertainties of our families in a broken world that brings us fear. Chances are we're not going to be in the dark of the night and see this bright being come upon us. Maybe you have, but probably that's not going to be your fear. Your fears are going to be of disappointments and uncertainties, in brokenness, in frailties in a broken world, in our families. That's where our fears come from. And that's true even without the rolling events of a global pandemic. Those things were true even before we lived our way through a pandemic, and even more so now that we are. But in Jesus, the Prince of Peace arrived on earth, and the angels proclaimed a new peace. A new peace. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is the Messiah. Do not forget that the favor of the Lord is with us. The favor of the Lord is here with humans. Don't forget that God created us, and he created us in his own image, and he created us to be in relationship with him, and he created us to be and live in community with him. If that's what he created us for, then he will show us favor. The peace, the shalom, the Jewish concept of fullness, safety, completeness, and wholeness is available to us. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Those things are available to us. Safety, completeness, wholeness, fullness, all those things are available to us. They're available to me. They're available to you. And this is peace. This is the peace of restoration with God. It is the peace that settles our souls deeply. It's that peace that we can have deep down in our souls when everything else around us seems to be crumbling, when our foundations are shaking. It's that peace in our souls that comes from God. In a sense, it's almost like the coming of Jesus was the eye of the hurricane, if you will, of human existence. Think about that. You've seen on the radar, right? When in a hurricane, when they show the hurricane and there's that eye. And in that eye, it's peace and it's calm. When everything else around it is whirling around, 75 to 100 miles an hour, creating chaos and destroying everything in its path. But in the center of it is this eye and it's calm. And that's kind of what reminds me of how God's peace is with us. When things are swirling 75 or 100 miles around us and wreaking havoc and chaos in our path, and in the middle of it, we can still have peace. That, my friends, is what God does. That's what God does. It's my hope that you have rediscovered the peace of Christ at Christmas, the peace of that contended wholeness that provides the eye of the hurricane for our spirits, even in the midst of life hurricanes. But it's my greater hope that you rediscover that peace, or rediscover peace as you rediscover life. Not just rediscovering Christmas, but rediscovering life. The storms are going to come. You can't stop it. I can't stop it. Some days we wish they wouldn't. But we live in a sinful world. We live in a broken world. Sin entered this world. And we will have struggles. And I'm sorry to have to say that. But you know what? It's part of reality. So we can either pretend that they're not going to happen, or we can be prepared for them to happen. The winds may be howling for you right now. There might be 75 or 100 mile an hour winds whipping around you right now, creating havoc and chaos in every step that you take right now in this moment. But my encouragement to you would be this: to turn your heart to Christ, bring him to your hurts and to your needs. And let me trust you that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Those are the words found in Philippians 4:7. Not my words. Not my words. This is the rediscovery of the peace of Christ in this season of life. And when I say this season of life, I'm not talking about the Christmas season. I'm talking about the season that we find ourselves in right now in this moment. Third is finding joy in our discouragements. We've all had one of those days, or one of those weeks, or one of those years maybe. Even then, Christ fills us with joy that defies our circumstances. King David wrote in the Psalms, "Weeping may stay for the night. Weeping may stay for the night. But what happens in the morning? Rejoicing comes in the morning." Psalm 30, verse 5. "You may weep for a season, but joy comes in the next season. Joy comes in the morning. Sometimes that night can feel oh so long. Such a long and lonely night. Such a long and lonely night. And probably a sleepless night. Probably a lot of tossing and a lot of turning. Sometimes it might even be night after night as we try to carry on. Sometimes happiness feels so elusive and distant. Sometimes we feel like, I'm not sure that I'll ever be happy again. It's eluded us for so long. Sometimes it pours out of us like the eruption of an old faithful geyser that we talked about a few weeks ago. And sometimes joy bubbles up slowly. But as we can rediscover life, the good news of great joy that is alive through Jesus and the strength that sustains us." We've seen this in the story of Elizabeth and Mary, united in the shared joy of their pregnancies. They had this shared joy in their most unlikely pregnancies. Elizabeth should have never got pregnant. Mary was way too young for this type of pregnancy. They were both miraculous, and they both shared in that joy together. For Elizabeth, joy was a fulfillment of a long-dashed dream, one that she had lost hope on, of being a mother, and the unsure of cultural shame because she had never been able to bear a child. Her joy erased decades of disgrace. Decades of disgrace. But that's just what God can do. He can take decades of shame and decades of disgrace, and he can wipe them away. That's what he did. That's what he can do for you. If you've been living with the weight of shame or the weight of disgrace, you don't have to live there any longer. That shame can be replaced in this moment, right now, in this moment, wherever you're at. Replace your shame for a new life in Jesus Christ. For some of us, Christmas is a joyful season filled with songs and celebrations and traditions and comforts. For others, expectations of Christmas joy serve as reminders of deeper pains and disappointments. I have a feeling that for the Christmases in the future, there's going to be a painful reminder for part of my family. For some, it's a great, joy-filled celebration, but for some, it comes with painful reminders of lost loved ones. Probably for most of us, Christmas may bring a mixture of both. For most of us, there's this element of celebration and expectation and joy, but there's also this element of memories of the past, of time spent with grandma at her house that no longer happens, or whatever the case may be. But it is my hope that we will rediscover joy in this new season and in this new year as we choose to rejoice. But it has to be your choice. You have to choose to rejoice. As we return our focus to Jesus, we can find his strength. We can find His strength as we pour out our hearts to Him, even in the midst of our pain. He can transform our weeping into joy that lets us appreciate and enjoy the goodness of life and the goodness of His greater work within us and within our world. You see, along with everything that's going on around us, everything that is happening in our world, that might be happening in our families, amidst all of that, there is a greater work that is going on in our world. And that is the work that God is doing. We have to believe it. We have to have faith in it, even if we don't yet see it. It is my prayer, written by the Apostle Peter, that though you may not have seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. How can you not love that verse, 1 Peter 1, 8, and 9? You can still be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith. The result of your faith, according to this text, should be an inexpressible joy. If you aren't experiencing that joy, then it might be time to kind of reconsider your faith a little bit. And then the fourth thing is this: finding love in our differences. We talked about this last Sunday. There's so much in our world that drives us apart. There's so much in our world that divides us. And some people intentionally trying to do that. The love of Christ runs deeper than our differences with a flood of grace, forgiveness, and unity. If we will extend a grace and forgiveness and unity, then we do not have to be divided. Each one of us has this longing to be loved, don't we? Deep down inside, we want somebody to love us. Kids want their parents to love them. Of course, a person wants their spouse to love them. We want our kids to love us. You know, there's this longing desire to want to be loved. And it's dominating in our culture. And it's a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing, because this desire to want to be loved can also drive people to make poor choices, to try and buy love, if you will. Man, if you will love me if I do this, then I'd be happy to do that because I want to be loved. And that becomes dangerous, because all you need is the love of Christ. And you don't have to do or make poor choices to receive that love. When the future archaeologists and anthropologists explore artifacts of our era, they'll probably conclude that love was one of, if not the most important qualities of our society. Our songs and our movies and our TV shows and literature are filled with themes of love. More importantly, the theme of longing for that love, celebrating it and mourning its loss. Because to love deeply is to also hurt deeply, right? At Christmas, there's even a whole genre of holiday romance songs and movies, otherwise known as the Hallmark Channel, right? We are captivated by love. We are captivated by it. But we struggle so badly to love each other on an individual or societal level. Isn't that the irony? We so long to be loved, yet we struggle so badly to love. Think about that. We want to be loved so desperately, so badly, and yet we have forgotten how to love one another. Instead of a culture that exemplifies love, we are a nation or a world filled with division and conflict and hatred. It just doesn't make any sense. We want to be loved, but yet we're so filled with conflict and division. Despite our best intentions, our broken human nature is what divides us. It's what divides us. Jesus, on the other hand, is the bridge of love that unites us. He is the long-promised Messiah sent because God loves us so much that he allowed his only son to be the sacrifice for all of our sins. For all of our sins. For yours, for mine. No matter how deep they are, no matter how long they've been going on, he is the answer for your sin. As we explored love on our Advent journey just last week, we saw how God gathered a varied group of very different people. Of very different people to be involved in the arrival of his son. We discovered how these people represented the barriers and divisions that God was uniting. I don't think it's by chance that God did that. God took people from different social classes, from different religions and all these, and brought them together in a spirit of unity on that Christmas night. There were young and old and earthly and heavenly, the lowly and the noble, Jews and Gentiles, clean and unclean. Ultimately, there was God and humanity. As we rediscover life post-Christmas, it's my prayer that we discover the love of Christ, the perfect love that allows us to experience complete acceptance by God, and the perfect love that removes all fears. That removes all fears. And this love washes over us and fulfills us all from within. That is my hope as we rediscover life, that this love washes over us, washes over each one of us, and fulfills us from the inside, from within. I pray that it propels us to reach across divisions around us, even to our enemies, with humility and forgiveness and grace. And like the Apostle Paul wrote, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and know that this love surpasses knowledge. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. And then it ends with this, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. That you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. And you know what? Post-Christmas 2 days, that is my greatest desire for each one of us. I couldn't ask for anything more for you than that, to be filled with the measure of the fullness of God. Wow, what a love. This is our God, and this is our Jesus. This is our God, and this is our Jesus, and it's not just our Jesus on Christmas. It's not just that peace, that joy, that hope, and that love on Christmas. It's that peace and that joy and that hope and that love, and it's our God and it's our Jesus every single day of our year. And I will just close with this. Christ has come with hope, peace, joy, and love. We talked about it over and over again. Christ has come to change our world and change us forever. This is his arrival into our world as described by Luke. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Man, it was such a humble birth. Such a humble birth. Such an understated beginning to life. Yet such a normal entry into our existence. Human birth is fragile, right? Human birth is so fragile. A helpless baby. He was Jesus, but he was still a baby. He was still a helpless, fragile baby. Jesus is one of us, able to understand everything that we go through. Understand that. Jesus is able to understand everything that you will ever go through. All of our longings and our struggles and pain, yet Jesus is God. He is hope, he is joy, he is peace, and he is love personified. Here to restore the characteristics in us is a byproduct of a restored life and a relationship with God. In Jesus, life can be rediscovered. In Jesus, life can be rediscovered. If you're struggling this year, asking, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Let me tell you where Jesus is. Jesus is in your uncertainties. Jesus is in your struggles. He's in your discouragement. He's in your differences. He's in your celebrations. He's in your mourning. He's in your crying. He's in your rejoices. He's in your fear, and he's in your triumph. He's in your losses, and he's in your victories. He's in your brokenness, and Jesus is in your healing, and he's in your sickness, and he is in your health, and he is in your life, and he is in your death. You want to know where Jesus is? That's where Jesus is. Basically, Jesus is wherever you go. Wherever you go, there he is. Wherever you go, Jesus is there. And he is working, and he is moving. He is offering new life. He is offering forgiveness. He is calling us to trust, and he is calling us to see beyond our immediate circumstance to his deeper, bigger, broader, wider, higher picture and work. That's what he's calling you to. He's calling you to his bigger picture, his deeper picture, his broader picture, his wider picture, his higher picture, and his greater work. That's where Jesus is, and that's where he is calling you to. Jesus is in our world, and Jesus can be in your life. He is in my life, and he can also be in your life. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us, not just at Christmas, but for all eternity, and he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. Jesus is the rediscovery of life. Let's run like the shepherds did. Can we just run like the shepherds did to encounter him in this coming year? That's what the shepherds did. The angels came to them and they said, we need to go see Jesus. Can we just go and run and see Jesus in the new year? Let's worship like the shepherds and find renewal in his presence. Can we just worship like the shepherds worship? This year, let's rediscover life and what he offers and not what in the world offers. When the world offers you a feeling of despair in a pandemic, say, no, thank you. I'm choosing joy in Jesus. I'm saying forget the despair in the pandemic. I'm saying yes to joy in Jesus. Don't let hope, peace, and joy and love be a Christmas thing. Let it be an everyday thing. Let's pray. Lord, here we are, 2 days after Christmas. And for some, life has already been tough. With no brighter days for tomorrow in sight. Lord, I pray that this hope and this peace and this joy and the love is not something we just celebrate at Christmas. Lord, I pray that we would run like the shepherds to worship you. Lord, that we would trade the despair of this pandemic and of this life in for joy found in you. We thank you, Lord, that you so freely extend it. Lord, we thank you that you give us the free will to simply accept it. Lord, my prayer for everyone here this morning, everyone tuning in this morning, everyone listening this morning, is that they would choose that joy of Jesus over the fear of the current pandemic. And we ask all these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dan.